This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our leader guest is Charles Tews. Charles is president and founder of Tews Company, one of Central Florida's largest recruiting and placement firms. Since opening its doors 20 years ago, Tews Company has developed a highly effective talent evaluation method to ensure that both employment candidates and client companies are perfectly matched. Tews Company has all the trappings of a national firm. The company specializes in high-quality jobs in the areas of general administration, accounting, finance, and information technology. Under Charles's leadership, the company skillfully recruits and selects only the best potential employees and then finds jobs and organizations for which they are best suited. Results have been tremendous. The majority of people placed by Tews Company end up working for their new employers on a long-term basis. Charles is very involved in the Central Florida community, having served as board chair of the Coalition for the Homeless and chair of the Pace Center for Girls. He has also served on the board of Orlando Health Foundation. Charles holds degrees in finance from Florida State University and an MBA from the Guizetta School of Business at Emory University in Atlanta. Before starting his own company, Charles spent time at General Mills working in both financial planning and government relations. It's an honor to have you here today, Charles. Welcome.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I really do like to say that word, Guizetta.
It's a fun last name saying. They're a great, they were a very generous family to Emory and the business school there. So they're a great family.
Yeah, great school. Yeah. Listen, all of our listeners are always trying to relate your experiences to theirs and how they might learn from what you have to say, from the mistakes you make, from the strong decisions you make. In order to do that, we often start with kind of a description of the guest leader's organization. So would you tell us a bit more about your company and how it has evolved?
Sure. Tews Company has been in operation for 20 years. We are primarily a staffing and recruiting firm. We're in the human resources business. We have, I think as you mentioned, we have a primary focus on accounting and finance, information technology, and HR back office services. We work with about 300 different clients throughout Central Florida. We have 17 internal employees, and last year placed approximately 1,200 people in employers throughout Central Florida. My background is I worked for General Mills, what's now Darden Restaurants, in a financial role for approximately 7 years. You know, during that time, I think I figured out more about what I didn't want to do than what I did. But I did learn quite a bit and had some opportunity in that role to really view strategic outsourcing. That General Mills at that point was doing quite a bit of that. And from that, the idea really evolved to form Tews Company. So that was really, you know, 20-something years ago was where the idea was originally hatched.
Good, good. And it's my understanding that you service both large and small corporations.
We do. We work with some very large, you know, Fortune 100 companies where we're primarily in those roles a partner with the HR team. And then a large portion of our business are also small to mid-sized companies that may not have an HR infrastructure. And in with those companies, we're actually more of an outsourced HR function. We serve in that role as in a talent acquisition department for those for small to mid-sized companies.
One of the things you do is coordinate your sales and operations teams. And I know you're a very objective, goals-driven organization. Tell us a bit about those two teams and how you manage them in your organizational circumstance.
Sure. We have a separate sales business development team and an operational team of the 17 employees that we currently have. I'm very involved with our sales team, business development, supporting them, and as well as operations. But I would say a large part of my day is typically trying to align those two functions. They work typically very well together, but we certainly do have issues that come up. And I view a large part of my role as making sure that we're, you know, continue to work as a team and that we're striving for common objectives, and that we don't let you know, the desires of one impact the rest of the rest of the company. So some days that's more challenging than others, but I do find quite a bit of my time during a typical day just making sure that our sales and operations teams are aligned and working towards a common goal.
So you spend quite a bit of time in meetings.
I do. Sometimes too much time. Too much time. You know, communication is obviously important in any company. I really strive to spend a lot of time with our internal employees. You know, my management mindset has always been, let's not let things fester. Let's sit down. There's things can always be resolved. But I think the worst thing is if you do have issues in your company, if you don't address them, if you don't can't sit around a table and have conversations about what's what the issues are, things can fester and many times kind of blow out of proportion. So I do spend a lot of time with our folks directly. A lot of those are meetings or one-on-one just performance assessments, yeah.
One of the things that turns out to be a whipping boy of almost all people in all organizations is meetings. How many meetings do you go to? I spend a lot of time in meetings. And in Hebrews 10:25, it gives us kind of an insight about the utility of meetings. And it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And that encouragement yielding the type of cooperation and focus that the organization needs. Is a meeting an opportunity for you to encourage?
It is. You know, I try to use those all meetings to encourage. Candidly, what I find myself doing many times is sometimes I'm not the best listener. When you sit in that many meetings, sometimes you may find yourself not being as focused as you should be. But that certainly is, whether that be in a church setting or in a home setting, if you have a family meeting or any kind of company setting, there's absolutely that's an opportunity to motivate and encourage.
I know that there are a lot of challenges you have in your job. Anybody who is doing what you're doing is faced with challenges. What might you say one of the most difficult challenges is that you have?
Well, we're in the people business, so just by virtue of that, every day is a challenge. You know, our biggest challenge / opportunity is just maintaining consistent quality. When we're working with over 300 different companies with different hiring managers and personalities and company cultures and environments, and then, you know, having placing over 1,200 people in those companies last year, it's just inevitable that we're going to have issues sometimes regarding quality on both sides. Many times when we have issues, it could be something with the client and their environment and their culture. Many times it's the individual that we've placed. I jokingly refer to our business at points as a blind date business because we get to know our clients and we get to know our employees well, and we put them together, and 95% of the time there's a happy marriage there. 5% of the time things don't work out as planned. And you know, the reality is people will inevitably let you down, and our business is on the other side of that, making sure that we're there to pick up the pieces for both our clients and our employee base to make things right. So, but that day-to-day is our biggest challenge that really our entire team, deals with consistently.
So when you look back and say that maybe you have placed 1,200 people or 1,400 people on an annual basis, it must make you feel pretty good in terms of the performance of your company. And it brings to mind also a quote that Bill Gates is somewhat famous for. And Bill Gates says that success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose.
I've not heard that before, but I think that's dead on.
It kind of it kind of says, don't get too enamored with how good you are, because it'll take you right down along with that attitude. When you think about advice that you might give to somebody taking your job, what would that advice be, Charles?
Well, you know, I think as a business owner, many days, you know, you're on a roller coaster. You know, there are some days that things, you know, couldn't get any better, and you feel like, hey, we're advancing, we're taking steps forward. And then there are a number of days where, gosh, you think, did we do anything right? And is anybody happy with me or with the company? But I think the best advice, and it took me a long while to learn this as a business owner, where ultimately I bear responsibility for everything that goes on, is you really can't get overly emotional when things are going well or when things are going poorly. We celebrate success, obviously, but you know, we address things when they're going poorly or things are not done correctly. But if you get too emotional about that, I think what you find is you end up making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that as a leader and a manager, you really have got to be wary of becoming too emotional when a situation arises. I'm on a board of directors, and the CEO recently was talking at a board meeting about, you know, they have a policy that, you know, any email that comes in that is adversarial in nature from a client, it's not to be responded to until after 24 hours, until they have a chance to really calm down, settle down, digest, and then to respond in an appropriate manner. So if you find yourself managing or leading by emotions, again, motivation is a different issue. You want to be emotional to motivate. But when things are going poorly, if you are overly emotional and you make decisions based on that, I think you find yourself, you're going to find yourself in difficult circumstances.
Good insight. As you know, Charles, we have a feature in each podcast called Sunday to Monday, and this is what you might hear in a sermon or from the pulpit in a church on a Sunday that you can take into your work life and use in a practical way. And in our preparation for this, I know that the Book of James is an important scripture for you, and I know that in there it talks about the trials that you're alluding to, and how you should view them as joy, and they should create joy. Talk to us about that, Charles, sure. In terms of your leadership style.
Yeah, that is one of the more meaningful verses in the Bible for me, and it really is my go-to verse when things are not going well, and I'm trying not to become too emotional about a particular situation. But yeah, I mean, the James. Actually says, you know, that to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind. And while I certainly wouldn't say that, you know, I'm there as far as considering it pure joy, I think I have learned through a number of circumstances, either in my personal life or in business, about embracing trials and understanding that they will come in life and the importance of those trials. And that, you know, on the other side of that, while it's challenging going through that, on the other side of that, it's changed me for the better as a better father, husband, company leader, and everything that I do. I think it's, many times it's very hard to understand why those things are occurring and the challenge of that. But I do know that God certainly provides strength in those situations, and that you come out a better and stronger person on the other side of that.
Okay, and that relates to joy in what way?
Still trying to figure that out. Well, I think there is joy in knowing and confidence that knowing that you can handle trials and that they are there for a reason. While many times we don't see that or understand that, until sometimes many, many years later, I think there is joy and comfort in knowing that God provides a strength for us to deal with those trials, and that there's a reason for those when they occur.
It's hard when you see those things coming to be excited about them. But in truth, they do develop you, and in truth, they do make you a better leader. At least that's my serious belief.
They do.
When you think about your leadership situation, what might be a difficult scenario that you've lived through and that people can learn from in terms of how to be a wiser leader?
Yeah, and it certainly the 2007 to 2009 Great Recession was extremely challenging as a business owner. Over an 18-month period, our revenue fell approximately 50%. We had to downsize a number of employees. there were many days that I just didn't feel like being a leader. I struggled with kind of the emotional toll that was having on the business. All eyes, are on the owner or the CEO. Walking into an environment in which an office every day that no one was hiring. Our sales team might sit in sales meetings, and many times our sales team would say to me, I'm scared to pick up the phone and even talk to a potential employer. It's almost offensive to them to ask them of what their hiring plans are going to be in the next 12 months, because at that point in time, everyone was downsizing. The economy was so rocky. I do think that the decisions that I made at that point, and in hindsight, again, I do find comfort in a lot of this, but those were difficult decisions, particularly in the areas of downsizing, which is really my first experience having to do that on a larger scale. They weighed on me because I felt like the trials that I was going through as a business owner, when I had to make some of those decisions, they had to be made. I was then creating trials for those employees and their families, and so that weighed on me as well. I will tell you, I did not see much joy in that 2 to 3 year
right,
period.
Right. I'm sure. The implication of this too is that when you have those difficult situations, it's a wonderful opportunity to build culture and to have people be strengthened, not individually, but as a company and as a corporation. And one scripture that comes to my mind about this circumstance, and a leader going through these tough times with others, it's in Romans 12:15, and it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there was a lot of mourning going on as people were let go and times were tough and difficult and so forth. Did that help build your culture as well?
It did, and I think what I would hope, we've always had a very strong tenure at T's Company. A lot of our employees have been with us for over 15 years. And what I would hope our employees would say is that we provided everything we could to those folks that were impacted by the downsizing. And those folks that remained certainly, I think, saw that and saw that we cared for those employees and felt for their situations. But I also think it also strengthened the employees that were not impacted by the downsizing as far as building a corporate culture and really quite being honest, maybe thankful for a position and working for a company that they felt like was a good culture and I think maybe has motivated them to help build that culture over and above what it was prior to going through that.
Right. Tom Landry, Dallas Cowboys football coach, has a quote that sort of fits in here, Charles, I think. He says that leadership is a matter of having people look to you and gain confidence, seeing how you react. If you're in control, they're in control. Mm-hmm. And I think that from the leadership style that you're talking about, I'm certain that it helped to encourage people in being in control and moving forward with those difficult times.
Yeah, I think back to your conversation about meetings. We actually had a fair amount of time on our hands because volume was not strong. I think those meetings one-on-one and listening to people's situations and hearing kind of what they were going through. And, many times I wasn't able to actually do anything other than listen. But as a leader, that is extremely important for your, again, as a dad or a husband or certainly as a, as a business owner, just to sit down and listen. Well, I would say, again, sometimes listening is not my best skills. I think during that period of time, I hope they improved.
It's time for your pearl of wisdom, and you know what that is. Pearl of wisdom, and everybody out there listening knows what it is. It's the one-sentence summary that you have that you'd like for people to take with them to resonate in their minds as they go through the workday.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to ask me this question, and I did think quite a bit about it. And I think what the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, is appropriate. I think in some ways that is what James is trying to tell us, is that, as you go through trials in your life, it will make you stronger. It may not be fun. You may not see joy in the time, but at the end of it, it will make you stronger and a better leader, a better husband, a better father.
Well said, Charles. Unfortunately, time is up. This was Charles Tews and his life as an entrepreneur at Tews Company. You can connect with Charles on twoscompany.com. That's T-E-W-S company.com. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. You can keep in contact with me on Facebook with chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See all of you next Wednesday. That's Wisdom Wednesday. In the meantime, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.